What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Magic Table. We are here sort of around our Magic Table-ish, but I just thought maybe there might be some newer people that have never listened to the Magic Table, and like even the concept of Magic Table might be a little weird. So I thought maybe we should like intro or like just talk about a little bit about the Magic Table.
Yeah, or you secret lurkers who we talk to and we find out like that you love the Magic Table and we didn't even know you listened to the podcast.
That's fair. I mean, I guess it's really hard to talk about the Magic Table right now because it's been like almost a year since anyone's been at the Magic Table.
Which is like so depressing.
It is depressing. Right. But the idea behind the Magic Table is that like our table has been called magic before because time just sort of disappears when you're there. You're like transported into a different place. And so this podcast about the Magic Table, called the Magic Table, I guess what we're trying to do is sort of bring that feel into maybe a little bit of the podcasting world. Like the next best thing to actually being at the Magic Table is us having conversations like we would be around the Magic Table.
Well, that's our goal.
Yeah.
That's what we hope is happening here.
And I guess to segue that into today's episode is like, I think one of the most beautiful things about the Magic Table is that we're not afraid to talk about like hard things, right? Like it's not just that we like show up and we party and like the Magic Table is just always a ton of fun or whatever. It is fun. But there's also, we talk about the whole gambit of things.
Yeah.
And so, we just had Easter. It was the first church service that we've been at outdoors in
6 months.
6 months since the fall when we could do outdoor services then. Mm-hmm. And it was fun and seeing people was fun. But I was reading some people just writing about Easter. And there is this sense, and maybe I don't know if you totally agree with this or not, but just this sense that Easter's like this joyful experience and everything's all good because it's Easter, you know, and that like, I don't know, maybe like we're not even allowed to sort of think about or talk about the like more difficult things of life because it's Easter and the resurrection. And while all that's awesome, does it deny a little bit of like the real humanity sometimes of like where we're still at?
Yeah. I mean, what it makes me, when you were talking about that, we haven't talked about this, but just like, it's also the second Easter in quarantine. And so at our house for Easter, we are the hub for people who typically don't have family to celebrate with on Easter. And so while we love the Magic Table, I think as our kids get older, we realize how much they love our table too. And so just to like, I think for me, part of Easter this year was the kids being like, so nobody's coming over. Like we're not doing Easter again. And like, yes, there is the joy in the resurrection and we're still living in a time that like, it was incredible to be with our church family. And it was outdoors and we were in masks and, you know, it wasn't the same as being at church by any stretch of the imagination. And I'm so thankful that we were together and there was still such like, I don't know that I felt sadness while we were there, but just it was very much like this isn't how we usually do Easter.
Right. And so I think I wanted to talk about this idea that like, even now it's still okay to not be okay. Cause I find myself feeling like not totally okay right now. And as I was thinking about it, right? Like we live in the Chicagoland area. We have three children. One of them is four and you know, being indoors for long periods of time doesn't work. And I think with all my sort of like being with the kids and being at home, I'm realizing that I had been thinking to myself, if I could only make it through winter, it's going to be okay. Right. There was this like hope of all the vaccines coming out, which they are. Right. But it was like, this trifecta of like, there's going to be perfect weather. We're going to get outdoors. Maybe we'll have people over even, you know, so we might see, start seeing some people, the vaccine's coming. Like there was all this hope for like, what's going to happen in spring. Like once we sort of lose winter. And now that we're sort of experience it, I'm realizing I had so like placed so many hopes on what this was going to be like that, like, they are not accomplishing any of that for me, or as much as I thought, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not this hope springs eternal sort of thing that I thought it was going to be, I guess. And so maybe I'm experiencing, while I'm sort of learning to experience my own emotions, like we talked about, I'm experiencing maybe this, like, I'm feeling like I'm pressuring myself to be okay. And like, I'm pressuring myself to sort of have it all together right now and like experience all this goodness that's going on. And like, what happens when like that doesn't come true?
Yeah. So I have thoughts, okay. Of course.
Yeah.
My first thought is totally random. Shocking. But one of my favorite Instagram accounts to follow is called Big Little Feelings. Will you tag them?
Yeah, I'll put that in the show notes.
Because they're doing great, like, trauma-informed parenting for toddlers. But they posted on Sunday just about, like, whatever the Easter pictures look like in your Instagram feed, like, realize that you're seeing the highlight reel.
Right.
Which I think we all know yeah. is true. But what was incredible to me is all day, women were sharing, like, women and men follow this account, but it's definitely geared towards moms, and just women sharing about like the freedom that they felt having someone else say, like, I'm not doing stuff for Easter, like maybe it wasn't the big, you know, hoopla that it typically was. I mean, I was joking all Sunday, like, our boys wore t-shirts and athletic shorts to Easter which has never happened in our whole lives, but like, it didn't feel like worth the fight to make them wear something nicer.
One, like, when's the last time we really had to go clothes shopping for them?
Right. And I just realized, like, I just didn't care.
Right.
I didn't care enough to like make a big deal out of it. And so like, I think there are some people giving that permission, but it felt very much like specific to this day of like, Easter doesn't have to be a big deal. If you've got nothing to give, like, you're still a fine parent and human. But even when we started talking about kind of what you wanted to talk about, you were like, is this normal? Which I'm not sure those were your exact words.
Well, I am like, I wanted to know if other people are experiencing this, because I'm very surprised by how I'm feeling right now. First of all, having feelings at all. Shocking, but them being sad feelings as opposed to happy feelings, especially coming off of Easter and all this like joy and excitement. I just wondered if it was something you're seeing with maybe clients, or, you know, that you're talking to people that are experiencing similar things.
And so what, at least half of my clients, if you were to talk to them, we often talk about week after week of, you know, so I guess first off, yes, I'm seeing a lot of this, and I keep reinforcing to my clients of, I will be the lady on the corner with the megaphone saying, it's okay to still not be okay. And I often feel like I'm the only voice in a lot of people's lives, you know, sharing that week after week after week. Mm. But the reality is, the world has had to keep going in some capacity.
Right.
That's just the reality of life.
Right.
And also, I mean, I think there was also just hope of like, oh gosh, when 2020 is over.
Right.
And that hasn't panned out well for us.
Yeah. It was yet. One of those Match.com commercials that I love with the Satan and like 2020, like getting together. She was like, yeah, I've met 2021 and she's just fine and like nice. And that really hasn't like panned out though.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I think part of it is just that we all, like at my practice, I talk about having markers of hope. And right, we all want, when the pandemic started, it was like, if we can just get to summer.
Right.
If we can get back to school. If we can get to the holidays. If we can get through the election. If we can get to the new year. And I think collectively, there are these major milestones that we're missing. You know, we all collectively are choosing these things. And I think that has just continued. And it's very normal because we all like to have, whether you're someone who likes to vacation and is always like looking forward to a trip or family gatherings or, you know, whatever it is you like to enjoy and celebrate, you've been through a year longer now of looking forward to those things only to watch those things not show up and not happen. And so, I mean, I think there can be this sense of hopelessness of the things that anchor my year, my life, my relationships are gone. And I don't know when they're coming back. You know, I think there's a lot of, even people right now keep saying like, oh gosh, I'm so ready for summer. And it's like, well, hopefully it's different, but we don't know.
Yeah, right.
And so, I mean, I feel very strongly about normalizing, like, it's okay that you still don't feel okay. And as we were talking about earlier, right, it's just become a different sort of complicated. It's, do people get vaccinated? How do people feel about the vaccine?
Yeah, right.
And then once that happens, how do you interact with people?
Right.
It's like, I'm vaccinated, you know, my friend is vaccinated, but do we feel the same way about what being together as vaccinated humans means?
Yeah. The vaccination was supposed to like fix all this.
Yeah.
And it, like, it's just made things, it's a different level of confusing, I think.
Yeah.
Like how you interact with non-vaccinated people. What does that look like? You know, and everybody has different opinions, which is to be understood. You know what I mean? But I guess it was just this like building anticipation. You're now vaccinated and have been for a while. I'm half vaxxed, right? Like there was this, I guess there was a light at the end of the tunnel, and that light turns out to be like more tunnel or something. You know what I mean? And I just wanted to like, well, maybe I needed my own like personal therapy session here, but like, I also just needed to know that like, it's okay that I'm not getting stuff done right now. You know what I mean? And like, one of my best coping skills is just accomplishing everything, you know? And you look around and are like, the house is a mess. The kids are all, you know what I mean? Like,
we're a mess.
Just, yeah, we're just like, it feels like we're back at to survival in a lot of ways. Whereas I felt like we were sort of clawing out of that, or like thought that there should be a time when we would claw out of that. And it doesn't seem to be sort of happening, I guess. And so I guess I thought that if I was experiencing that, other people must too.
Mm-hmm.
And then you roll that into this holiday, which for us, again, you know, probably one of the biggest days of our year, as far as just like being around people, churches, you know, we have the sunrise service, like all these extra services, you know, and as a pastor, like it's a big week, for as pastors, it's a big week for us, you know? And so to not experience our normal Easter, for it to be our second abnormal Easter, it feels hard, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, right, that coupled with everything is in flux,
right,
still, you know, we're like trying to plan some things for summer, and it's kind of like, well, if A, B, and C align,
right,
then we can get to D. And like, just living like that for such a long period of time, I think feels overwhelming. And I think too, there's this other side of it, of we have had like a couple of backyard hangouts with people, and I think the other side of this is like, it's so lovely and life-giving, and it's exhausting.
Yeah, you don't have the capacity you used to for that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and so even to realize like, oh my gosh, not only does my life look so different than it used to, but I'm going to have to like totally reacclimate like how to be with humans
right.
on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
And I think that part of it feels like another layer. And I think maybe the overwhelm that you're feeling, that a lot of people are feeling, is it just everything feels overwhelming. Like, yeah. How do I talk to my friends about what feels safe? Because I think people's views have shifted.
Yeah.
I feel like there's so much language around, you know, people verbalizing like, I'm just so done. Well, if I were to say that and you were to say that, that means two really different things.
Right.
And so, you know, you're still trying to gauge, like, how do I interact with other people with all of these variables that are present? What feels safe to me may not feel safe to you, may not feel, you know.
Yeah.
And it's still having all these conversations about, like, that you just, with your friends that you never thought you'd have to have. Like, if we're in the backyard, do you want to wear a mask? Do you...
Yeah.
Feel like, you know,
right.
And so just even to like spend time with another human, it's just more complicated than like, hey, do you want to go meet up for a cup of coffee?
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen anymore.
Right. Right. Yeah. You're exactly right. And even in that, people's opinions have changed over the pandemic. Right. Like people that used to not be so strict, maybe like saw somebody get really sick and have like really locked down or vice versa, or like it's just so hard to know where anybody's at, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think we've felt that way. Like, yeah. You know, we've lived different experiences over this right. pandemic and had different feelings about our level of openness and closedness.
Right.
As we've watched other people navigate different things. And so, you know, for the most part, we've seen eye to eye on that, which is great. And you just think in our little world, there's been such like an ebb and flow to how we felt based on what's going on. And then you try to like match that with someone else. And it's a lot.
So, I mean, from a counseling perspective, right, what does it mean to, like, have grace with ourselves? Like, what does that look like, or how do we go about sort of doing that?
Well, I've definitely mentioned it before, but that whole idea of, like, whatever your expectations are, lower them and then lower them again.
Right.
And that's probably a more comfortable place to be.
So even around, like... I guess in this instance, would you see expectations as sort of like how we should be handling this, even like expectations for ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think even like I think I talk about this like every time we talk about this topic, but I think some of it is like food, right? I like to cook. I like to have pretty varied meals. And we have done a lot of survival eating / cooking because right. I don't have the capacity to be more creative. Like early on, that was really stressful to me. And now I'm like, everybody ate today. I'm winning. Like how many different kinds of charcuterie boards can I make and like call them dinner? And it's great because our kids love that.
Well, the beauty of that is it doesn't add that much to our three loads of dishes that currently need to be done, you know? So
true. Helpful. So, I mean, I think it's simple things like that. But I also think, oh gosh, and now, you know, I have like so many random things that I talk about all the time with clients. Now I can't even remember how much I talk about here or not. But I think part of it too is like even self-talk. Like, are you talking to yourself the way that you would talk to a friend? And we can be so much more harsh to ourselves than we would ever be to other people. And so I think sometimes it's, you know, just being like, I'm still an okay human if, you know, all the laundry baskets are full. I'm still an okay human if, you know, my kids should have taken a bath 4 days ago and it's happening today. You know, whatever those things are in your life, or maybe it's like you're normally someone who at your job gives like 120% and you're giving like 90% right now. It's fine. It's really fine. Like, you're doing the best you can do in the circumstances that you're living. And I think so many people are used to just producing at a level that was probably not sustainable anyways.
Yeah.
But now it's just really not sustainable. And it's just being okay with that.
Well, and I think we live lives, and to like kind of maybe jump into sort of the theology of hustle world, like we live lives where most of our value, even though we don't think about it on a daily basis, is what we produce. Like, that's our mindset as a culture, right? So we're only good if we're producing things, like whatever we see is good. And I guess for me, I'll make this personal. I don't feel like I'm producing what I want to produce right now, right? I don't feel the energy to like get stuff done. I feel like I'm just making it most days, you know? And so I have to reevaluate my value. See what I did there? Yeah. That was bad. I'm sorry. But we have to reevaluate like what really makes us good, and what is our intrinsic value. And I think that comes from obviously God and the image of God, as we are image bearers, you know, but shifting that mindset away from like, I have to be doing the A, B, and C in order to have any sort of value here, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I think like for me practically, when the pandemic started, if you know us in real life, you've heard me talk about like the practice has doubled. I've increased the number of people I'm seeing. And since last summer, I've had a wait list. And early on, I was stretching myself too thin because I, as a helper...
Yeah, that two energy was strong.
Wanted to help. And like right now, as people have dropped off, I just haven't filled all my spots because we've had, you know, every time I get to this place, we have a conversation of, is this going to be okay? Are we going to be okay? Because I don't have the emotional capacity to see the same number of clients. And I think once I started to realize like, oh, this isn't going to be over in fall, like I couldn't push myself in the way that I was, because really, like, who cares if you're showing up to see people if you're totally burned out and crispy and aren't helping anyone? Like, that's not helpful as a therapist.
Right.
And so, you know, what I kind of thought probably in November would be a break is really like what I've stuck to. And now it's April.
Right.
But, you know, part of it is, okay, I'm acknowledging what my capacity is, and I'm trying to push through to do more than that. And it's not healthy, not only for me as a clinician, but for our family and for our marriage. And so we're having to deal with me having a smaller caseload, because that's what we need to function as humans right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's an important way to sort of think about it. I guess from a, like, to bring it sort of full circle back to that Easter thing I was talking about, and just like, you know, the high highs of Easter, there is this sense in which we sort of walk through the Holy Week, right? Where with the death of Jesus on Friday, you know, Holy Saturday, and then Sunday, where the resurrections happen, and like everything's sort of good. I think there is this reality that we aren't fully to Sunday yet in a lot of ways, right? Mm-hmm. We exist in an already and not yet, right? And so Jesus' resurrection is hope for the future of like our own resurrection, right? Like death literally does not matter to us because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's like the good news, and that's hope. I think hope doesn't have to always mean everything's just like hunky dory and okay all the time, right? Like you can hope even in the midst of sadness and struggle. And so we are people who exist in the already, which is the kingdom has partially come to this world, but existing also in the not yet, where we're still hoping for the future fulfillment, where every tear will be wiped away, you know, someday at the, when Jesus comes back. And so I think giving ourselves permission to have hope and struggle be okay things to have at the same time. Mm-hmm. Just because we struggle doesn't mean we don't have hope, right? We don't have to be like having a party all of the time because of hope. But when that sadness does strike us, and when we are in those moments, we look to the future, you know, we look to the goodness of God and the hope of the resurrection. And I think maybe that's a good takeaway for this year's Easter, where it doesn't have to be everything's okay, and where we're just sort of like using God language to get out of our sadness, you know, but experiencing what's here and what's right now, you know?
Yeah.
I guess that's the way I'm sort of choosing to think about it. And then I lay on the couch for just hours on end. So it's perfect.
It works out that there's all the basketball games. It's, you can rationalize.
Well, and the Masters is this week. So
can't wait for the Masters. There we go.
Yeah. So I guess, man, I just wanted to name this, I think, for myself. And I wanted to just name it for maybe others out there that are struggling in similar ways.
I think it's important. I think it's important to normalize, whether you're in a pandemic or not, that sometimes like life brings you to a place that it's okay that you're not okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jesus experienced those things too, you know, the struggle and the hardship. And I mean, yeah, there's a lot there. And I think I could preach on that all night, but I think, I hope you feel encouraged. I hope everyone out there listening feels encouraged, you know, that it doesn't have to all be okay. And like you can experience that sadness, but find people who can really listen to you. And even though it's awkward to like sort of hang out, I've really had to like force myself to like maybe talk to other people, you know, and share some of these struggles with other people and be really open about how I'm feeling. And I think that's an important part of all of this.
Yeah. So I think, the pandemic, while people are gathering more frequently or feeling there's more opportunity to do so, I think so many people still feel really isolated, or if you only get to see someone, you know, for an hour,
right,
are you really going to unload all your junk? And I think sometimes like we don't want to be a burden, we don't want to be a bother, and the reality is like it's okay. Hey, like you're, the people in your life who love you want to know that things aren't okay, and sometimes even just like creating the space like we've created for you to name these things.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Is helpful, yeah. Right? And so sometimes like you may just need to like get out how you're feeling, and that will help you feel better. You may, as we've said before, be at a place of like, I'm still feeling isolated. This is still really hard. Like maybe you could go back to that therapy episode and right. talk about talking to someone, because right. I mean, if nothing else, I hope the pandemic is normalizing mental health in a way that it hasn't been normalized previously.
Yeah.
But like, you know, if you find yourself feeling like, gosh, it's been a long time that I haven't felt okay, you know, it's okay to find somebody to talk to.
Yeah. It's good. Well, all right. Well, I feel like, I don't think we covered it all like we normally do, but I feel like maybe we gave some permission. JJ's writing prescriptions for permission to like take care of yourself and like
not prescriptions, permission slips.
Yeah, right. Not an official RX. A permission slip to, you know, take care of yourself. Have a little grace with those around you and yourself.
Yep.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us at the Magic Table. We'll see you next time.